The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
I got my game face on and I'm ready to shake. Never falling under pressure, never vouching to lose. Yeah.
Feels gifted.
Zach Wilson is that dude.
Lance has the highest ceiling.
He's a really good football player.
No brainer. He's the number one overall pick.
That's a one in a million. You don't have to guess who in the building. One of the realest.
Cornerbacks have stolen the headlines this week as Justin Fields, Mac Jones, and Zach Wilson all had their pro days. Add Trey Lance and Trevor Lawrence to the mix, and all these QBs that will likely be picked in the top 10 have worked out in front of NFL brass as the draft inches closer and closer. We welcome you to NFL Live here. And listen, quarterbacks will most certainly be flying off the board early in next month's NFL draft, but two of the best players available actually are not quarterbacks, and they had their pro days today. Florida tight end Kyle Pitts is the second best overall player on Mel Kiper's latest big board, while LSU wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase is fourth. You see him right there. Full coverage from both Florida and LSU's workouts today with Jeremy Fowler and Ryan Clark. Let's start with you, Jeremy. How did Pitts look this afternoon?
Well, Laura, a lot of scouts and execs went into today thinking Pitts was the best overall player in this entire draft, and he did not disappoint. Pitts told me that he wanted to show he could gain weight, get closer to 250 pounds, and still run in the 4.4s in the 40, still catch every pass that looked out of reach, and he did just that. So we know that the teams picking first, second, and third are probably going to take a quarterback, but it's those teams in the fourth, fifth, and sixth range. They all had their head coaches here. Atlanta's Arthur Smith, Cincinnati's Zach Taylor, Miami's Brian Flores, and they all kept a very close eye on Pitts, who looked fluid throughout the day. And so this is a guy who believes, and he told me point blank, I'm the best player in this draft because there's not a weapon quite like me. And he reinforced that with a recent story I heard from some coaches on the field here that when San Francisco last week traded to the number 3 overall pick, he texted one of his offensive coaches of Florida and said, are they trading up for me? So that's a good sign. Now let's send it over to Ryan Clark in Baton Rouge.
Man, look at that. Jeremy Fowler sending it over to me because, you know, I report now, Laura. This is part of this whole new thing I do for ESPN. And I enjoy being at the pro day. And when you look at a guy like Ja'Marr Chase, who was also in that conversation for best skill player in this draft, I think he showed everything that you needed to from him. He showed the 41-inch vertical, 11-foot broad jump, 4.38 in the 40. And you talk about catching every pass, jumping up, getting 2 feet down on the sideline, showing effort to get to footballs that were misthrown by a quarterback who he'd never played with. I thought Ja'Marr Chase was everything he needed to be and more. When I spoke to a lot of the coaches who were at the pro day, they said, you know what? We didn't need to see much for him. You saw the size, you saw the strength, you saw the explosion, but more than anything, you saw the fluidity in and out of breaks and cuts. And a guy like Dan understands when you have a dude that big, that strong, who can create separation with route running as well, that's a quarterback's dream.
Ryan Clark, ESPN. He's now a reporter.
What can All right.
We've also got something coming from Jeremy again later on in the show. Dan Orlovsky is here. Also, our NFL draft analyst, Matt Miller. And Matt, let's start with you. We just talked about Ja'Marr Chase. Where do you have him on your board?
Yeah, I'm not trying to make RC mad today. I have Ja'Marr Chase as the number 2 overall player in this draft class, right behind Trevor Lawrence. He is a special talent. And today served as just a nice little reminder for people who maybe forgot how good Ja'Marr Chase was since he opted out of the 2020 season. 20 touchdowns in his sophomore season. He was Joe Burrow's go-to guy. Not Justin Jefferson, not Terrace Marshall, who we'll talk about a little bit later today. But the physicality for him to be 6 foot tall, a little over that, 201 pounds today, came in a little lighter to run that 4.38. The physicality on the field is what makes him so special. And who cares if you're 6 foot tall if you have a 41-inch vertical? That is absolutely special from Ja'Marr Chase. So today, again, just a reminder, he is the best wide receiver in this class, and he is right there with Kyle Pitts as the best non-quarterback in this entire class, too.
Dan.
I think Ja'Marr Chase is the only wide receiver in this draft that me as an offensive play caller or quarterback feels good about when I put him by himself. I can put him out there by himself and go win. You know, like that is the DeAndre Hopkins of the world, the Stephon Diggs, the Devontae Adams, the Julio Jones guys, where there's a lot of good receivers in the NFL, but their coach has got to do some stuff to help them be really good. They got to stack splits or motion them down or get them in the slot, and they go perform. Jamar Chase is the type of guy where I could just throw him out there and go, hey, go win on your comeback, okay? You just go out there, you're the solo receiver, and you go whoop the corner. And then the second thing I would say is this. The testing matches the tape. So often, guys, tape looks good, and then they test, and you're like, man, he ran high 4.5s. Is he going to be able to transfer the tape over from college into the NFL? Or so often, guys test so well, and they go, yeah, but his tape's not very good. He doesn't play 4.38. Very rarely does a guy like Jamar Chase come along where the testing is absolutely outrageous and the tape matches it. He's absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, we're actually seeing Kyle Pitts running right there. Let's actually transition to that and talk a little bit more about Kyle Pitts, because I think when you think about what the conversation around today is going to be, it has a lot to do with him as well. Let's see Mel's big board one more time. And when you see it, you can see Jamar Chase at that number four spot. Not many guys above him, but one of those guys is Kyle Pitts. Matt, we go to you first. Where do you have Pitts going in your most recent mock draft?
Yeah, I have him going number four to the Atlanta Falcons. I know there's a lot of conversation. Should Atlanta draft a quarterback? Does he fit this scheme? I think he would as a pass catcher. We have to not think about him as a wide tight end who's going to open up the run game. They have Hayden Hurst to be that blocking tight end. What they need is another pass catcher in this offense. If you're going to stick with Matt Ryan for two more years, and his contract kind of suggests that they're going to, you've got a little bit of an aging Julio Jones. If you put Kyle Pitts in this offense, you're getting back to having three elite pass catchers. You're giving Matt Ryan those targets to now open up the field. We know they're going to bring the power run game element in with Arthur Smith as the head coach, but I think Kyle Pitts, 4-5 to Cincinnati, 6 to the Miami Dolphins. His range is 4-6. It's very, very small, and he will be one of the first pass catchers off the board. Tim or Jamar Chase will be the first guy off.
Yeah, Ryan, a lot of people talking about Kyle Pitts as maybe actually the best player in this draft. I understand why he's not going to be the number one overall pick, but sure. When you watch that level of skill and how he plays, where would you rank him?
You have to rank him up there. And like, I can be honest, right? I was standing on the LSU turf. There was a lot of purple around me early on. And I was like, it's Jamar Chase, and it's not even the question. But now I'm going to put my true analyst hat on and think about being a free safety. And then you think about the range that Kyle Pitts has, right? You also add the height to that. Now, let's think 4.38 and 4.44. And in a vacuum, if these guys are racing to win a gold medal, then you say, okay, Jamar Chase wins. But now you have to add the height. You have to add the catch radius. You have to add the weight, and you put all these things together, and you realize what type of matchup problem Kyle Pitts is. If you put him outside, and now he's matched up on a corner, he has a bigger body. He's too fast for inline linebackers and too quick in and out of cuts, and so he's just such a matchup problem. I think he's kind of like the inverse to what Dan was talking about earlier. Yeah, it's good to have a Jamar Chase that you don't have to scheme up a way to win, but it's also great to have a Kyle Pitts where you get to sit in your office on Monday night when you're putting your game plan together and go, you know what? If I put him out here, he's too big for this corner. If I keep him in line, he's too good for this linebacker. If I put him at number three and we have a slot outside of him, he's going to get matched up on the nickel corner or the dime safety and he can beat him. That's what you have when you have Kyle Pitts. And so when you look at these guys, you love them both, but I know the tantalizing thing about Kyle Pitts will be the overall package.
Yeah, I mean, having Kyle Pitts is like having an elite quarterback. He will make everybody else's job easier. He will make everybody around him better. RC, you just talked about all the different places you can move him. Now, first of all, that's going to give me as a quarterback information. Are you in man? Are you in zone? Is it going to be cover three, cover two, something like that? Now, if you're going to pay attention to Kyle Pitts, well, then your number two receiver, he's got a better matchup. Your number three receiver, he's got a better matchup. So his impact is absolutely spectacular. It's Travis Kelce. Okay, it's Travis Kelce with the Kansas City Chiefs and how Kelce is moved around and Patrick knows, all right, it's man coverage. Now, this guy's wingspan is absolutely, I don't know if you guys saw this today. This guy's wingspan is 83 inches and 3/8 of an inch, okay? I'm not a math major. That's like 7 feet, bruh. That's like 7 feet. As a quarterback, just throw it anywhere remotely close to his body, okay? Because you know it's going to get caught. That being said, I love him. I don't like him to Atlanta. I don't like him to Atlanta, Matt, because Atlanta's right. Going to a run-first scheme, play-action-pass-second scheme, and then third kind of drop back matchup based oriented. If he's going to go be Kyle Pitts in the NFL that we saw at Florida, they've got to use him like Andy Reid uses Travis Kelce, like Dan Mullen used him down in Gainesville.
Yeah, and I like him as a Darren Waller. You know, he's not a bad blocker, but he's not Travis Kelce. But I'll say this, Dan, blocking can be taught. I remember Vernon Davis coming out of Maryland. He learned how to block in the NFL. You can't teach 7 foot wingspan or 4.46 at 6'5" and 250 pounds. Those things we can't coach up. You can teach someone with Kyle Pitts want to be a better blocker. I saw him against Tennessee and Alabama last two games of the year. He was a pretty serviceable blocker.
Sure. Yep.
He loses slowly. That is the best way to put it. He will hold his ground. He can contain a little bit. So it's not like he's a terrible blocker.
Doubt.
We can work on that part of his game. But I just see it in the passing game, which is where the league's going. We're throwing the ball 50 times a game.
Right.
Kyle Pitts with Julio Jones, that's not fair. I don't know how you cover that unless you have Stephon Gilmore and Jalen Ramsey on the same team. I don't know how you scheme to stop those two players.
Yeah, you get Calvin Ridley in there too. By the way, if you missed it, that's actually Matt Miller's own mock draft. Check out his mock draft. He has Kyle Pitts going number 4 to Atlanta. And by the way, 91% of Pitts' receptions resulted in either a first down or a touchdown last season. Pretty good, just insane. In case you were wondering.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields dazzled at his pro day yesterday, throwing dimes, running a casual 4-4-4 40-yard dash. And yet, whether it's a specific fit-based argument or not, the current chatter around the draft makes it seem like Fields will fall past at least pick 3 when a lot of us had him as the second-best quarterback available. So some have wondered if he's being compared to other Ohio State quarterbacks. Fields was actually asked about this by the Washington Post. He said, "I think I'm different than those guys. I know my work ethic is unmatched, and just my dedication and passion to wanting to be great is just another level." He went on to say, "In terms of the past quarterbacks, I can't control that. The only similarity that me and those guys have is that we wore the same uniform. So if they want to say that, then that's on them. I'm going to focus on myself and focus on continuing to get better in every aspect of the game." If you watched him yesterday at his pro day, if you watched him during his season at Ohio State, especially this past season, you saw the leadership on display, and you saw a guy that really can command an offense and look out for his receivers throughout all of it, which are important things at the next level. So Dan Graziano joining us now. You've talked to some executives around the league. Is there a legit concern about Fields following in the footsteps of former Buckeyes quarterbacks?
I don't hear that, Laura. And in fact, I've asked that question directly. You know, does the idea that the Ohio State quarterbacks haven't really found success in the league work against him? And I've been told no. I mean, they're assessing. I've been told he's a different guy than some of those other guys. So he's being evaluated on his own merits, as he should be. I think when you hear concerns, a lot of times they're about inconsistencies with mechanics and maybe some issues he might have had when facing pressure. But you know, it's nitpick season, right? I mean, this guy's still going to almost certainly be a top 6 or 8, or certainly 10 pick, just because he's not going to be 1 or 2, it doesn't look like, isn't necessarily a significant knock on him.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think this is always the season it seems we have to answer a ton of questions about certain players, about certain quarterbacks. And, you know, we had the questions about Lamar Jackson. They had the questions about Cam Newton. And now those questions seem to be about Justin Fields here. But when you look at his body of work, when you look at the totality of his film, he was highly successful. He was a winner in college. He was a guy who went out and fought when he was injured to beat Clemson in the semifinal. And so I think when you think about the measurables, you look at the physicality, you look at the physical tools, he obviously has everything there. I think at the top of this draft, when you look at those things, but also the productivity was there in college as well. And all he can do is continue to show well, is continue to ball. And if he does those things, then you get a great player. I want him to go to San Francisco. I believe if he does, he's an all-pro. I believe he's a guy that wins a Super Bowl. And much of this talk that we have right now about Justin Fields goes away.
If Justin Fields falls past fourth at the NFL draft, we as an NFL community have failed. All right, let me say that, okay? If he falls past four, we have as an NFL community have failed. Number one, if you hear someone say that Justin Fields can't get through number one of his progression, stop listening to that person and walk away. Hopefully we have dispelled that. The second thing I've heard is he really struggled against Indiana and Northwestern. Did you guys watch the same games as I did? Because he had like two bad plays against Indy. Look at this ball to the sideline. That's a rip. Now, Indiana's defense is crazy exotic. Tons of unique pressures and coverages. So, yeah, there was an interception down the middle of the field late. Or there was a play where he scrambles around and the ball floats up and it becomes interception. That's fair. That's not a bad game. Those are two or three bad plays. Still through for 300 yards. Northwestern against the number one defense in college football. There's an RPO. It's not there. Just tuck it and use the 4-4 speed. You guys tell me if you like that throw because it's absolutely spectacular to the field. And then he could be a runner down. No, listen, one-hand interception. That ball's 3 inches off from a touchdown. Great play by the corner. Holding on to it a little bit leads to a sack. So those are, like, there's a difference between playing bad against certain teams and having four or five bad plays over the course of those two games. Now, I wanted to point out Indiana and Northwestern for everybody at home because you guys are probably hearing Indiana and Northwestern not thinking great college football. Mm. Indiana was the number five ranked college football defense in America last year. Northwestern was number one. And he didn't have his number one receiver.
Dan.
Yes, raise your hand. You can go.
So here's also why Dan has to point out Indiana and Northwestern. Because when you look at his entire college career, those are the only two games you can point
out.
That's why Dan has to tell you what Indiana was. That's why Dan has to tell you what Northwestern was. Because against everybody else, he was flat out balling.
Right.
And so when you think of Justin Fields and you look at the measurables, you look at the physical tools, but when you turn the film on, the dude flat out played. And you have to go back and watch it. You have to not nitpick just because you're falling in love with other people. Look at him for what he has done and for what he is.
Well, and remember, too, that he was without many of his weapons in a couple of those games. Olave didn't play his big-time wide receiver because of COVID protocol. Let's give Dan Graziano the last word here.
Well, I just think what's interesting is where does he go if he isn't San Francisco's pick, right? Does Atlanta want to use the pick on him? Or does Atlanta end up trading the pick to someone who's in love with him, a Carolina, New England, Denver? Those teams are still lurking and thinking about coming up for a quarterback after that run of the top three.
I love it, guys. We got so much more coming your way.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Mr. Electric Kyle Pitts.
It's going to be a scary season.
Call him a tight end. Call him a wide receiver.
Great matchup nightmare.
Matchup nightmare.
I see Mike Evans meets Darren Waller.
Jackpot, baby.
He is the total package.
This is LeBron playing football.
There may not be a more exciting player in the NFL draft. Kyle Pitts, front and center at Florida's Pro Day this afternoon. And Jeremy Fowler in Gainesville for the workouts. Jeremy, did Pitts hurt his stock at all with his performance today?
Laura, greetings from a place you're very familiar with, Gainesville, Florida, where tight end Kyle Pitts was doing some freaky things on this field. A lot of scouts and execs I spoke to before today considered Pitts maybe the best overall player in this entire draft. He did not disappoint. He told me he got his weight up closer to 250 pounds and still wanted to show he could run in the 4.4s in the 40, catch passes all over the place, so that's a job well done. And Atlanta Falcons coach Arthur Smith, whose team picks fourth overall, was chatting up Pitts for a few minutes after the event. That's a good sign. Cincinnati Bengals head coach Zach Taylor, who picks fifth. Miami Dolphins coach Brian Flores, who picks sixth. They were both here to see Pitts as well. Now on to some other players. Quarterback Kyle Trask told me that he's hearing some of the critics say out there that he's immobile, that he can't throw on the run. So he designed his pro day throwing session today around moving to the left, right, up, down, and making throws with movement. He believes he did a great job in that regard, showed some things. He's widely considered probably a day two pick right now by a lot of people I talked to, maybe second round. I'm hearing some buzz here that the New Orleans Saints like his game a great deal, so maybe that will lead to something. And lastly, the freakiest thing I saw today was wide receiver Kadarius Toney over here broad jumping 10 feet 4 inches. That is not a great measurement, but the thing is, he decided to go way up in the air and out. You're supposed to go straight out, but he got so high, still went 10 feet. It was impressive and worthy of his first round billing. Back to you, Laura.
I love it, Jeremy. Let's get some quick reads on some of the future NFL players working out today at Florida and LSU. I want to continue with Kadarius Toney. He's a do-it-all player, right? He's electric with the ball in his hands. You see it next to me on the screen. He also takes blocking personally, which means he's even more of a weapon. And even with the talent of Pitts on that Florida offense, Toney was the player they knew he would score. They can't even put enough of a value on that, being able to score six at all times. That's what Kadarius Toney did for this Florida team. Dan, let's stay in Florida. What did you make of quarterback Kyle Trask?
Yeah, Kyle Trask is good. He's good athlete. He's good in the pocket. He's good with his arm strength, and he's good with his accuracy. The question for teams are going to be, or is, can you get him to be great at something? Can you get one of those traits to elevate and develop and go be great at something? If not, he's where he belongs, as a second or third round draft pick in a developmental quarterback position.
LSU showcased a couple wide receivers at their pro day today. Matt Miller, what do you think of Chase and Marshall?
Oh, these are first rounders all the way, guys. And let's start with Jamar Chase, who, let's not forget, was the Biletnikoff Award winner as a sophomore at 19 years old as Joe Burrow's go-to target while surrounded by first-rounder Justin Jefferson, who was pretty good in the NFL last year for the Minnesota Vikings, and Terrace Marshall. We're going to talk about in just a moment. Jamar Chase is the unquestioned number one receiver in this class. We don't need to overthink it. And, oh, yeah, there's Terrace Marshall, who today also ran a mirror 4.38 at 6'3", 210 pounds. LSU is now wide receiver, you guys. Marshall is a perfect fit. Late round one, you think about the Baltimore Ravens, the Buffalo Bills maybe, the Green Bay Packers if they finally draft a receiver in the first round. A lot of teams late round one who have smaller wide receivers could absolutely use the size of Terrace Marshall opposite those players.
Yeah, all the DBU people are mad at you right now, but that's okay. Mel Kiper actually slotted Marshall to the Ravens with the 27th pick. Dan, you think it's a good fit?
Absolutely. Love it. If he's there, the Ravens should run to the podium. If you look at Lamar Jackson, right, in the development of Lamar's passing game, he usually has the most success throwing the ball to his tight ends. Mark Andrews, Boyd, like just these big-bodied guys, right? Boyle, Hayden Hurst, because there's a comfort level with quarterbacks when you're throwing to guys that are 6'4", 6'5". Like it's just, it's an obvious bigger target. Now, Andrews is great, right? Well, Hollywood Brown's a smaller receiver, and Lamar hasn't had as much success throwing to receivers. So go get a big body receiver in Terrace Marshall Jr. that Lamar can have opposite Hollywood, that one is a very different type of receiving threat as a wide receiver. He's a bigger body. That's something that I think Lamar would love. Also, I called the LSU game last year, and I asked Terrace Marshall Jr., who are you like as a wide receiver? And he looked at me and said, I'm Julio Jones. And I looked at him with a little bit of like, slow up, bud, like... And he looked at me, he's like, I'm Julio Jones. No one can cover me. And I think the thing that is the most intriguing aspect of his game for me, Matt, in comparison to Hollywood, is he's already a better route runner. He already understands the change of tempo and the ability to burst in and out of cuts. That is something Lamar needs. That's something the Ravens need to do what Marcus Spears has begged them to do and advance the passing game.
No, absolutely. And I think when you talk about comparisons, look at Michael Pittman, who went to the Indianapolis Colts last year as a very early round two player. Last year's wide receiver class was a little deeper, so players like that got pushed down. But I look at Terrace Marshall. I had him as a late first rounder, and I think exactly what Dan's saying. Lamar Jackson is a great quarterback, but he's not the most accurate thrower. So let's give him a bigger strike zone, a bigger margin of error with a wide receiver who actually has a big catch radius, 6'3", 210 pounds, and we've seen the explosiveness. Now, Terrace Marshall does have some focus drops in his game. You want to clean that up. But we're not asking him to be your number one possession receiver. You're asking him to dominate in the red area, in the end zone, to give Lamar Jackson that go-to so that you're not asking him to scramble around and wait for Mark Andrews to be able to get off double and triple coverage. You're now giving him that second weapon to go to in the red zone. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a lot of teams who have these smaller number one receivers Kansas City, I mentioned Buffalo, Baltimore. They all need now this big guy who can go in the red zone.
Yeah, if you look at what LSU had at quarterback this year and their issues after Joe Burrow, it's amazing that Terrace Marshall was able to do what he was able to do this year. Dan, really quickly, how do you think Marshall is as a blocker? Because that is a key part of this scheme. Ravens offense. Right.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't asked to do it a lot at LSU. Blocking as a wide receiver is all about attitude. It's a want-to thing. It's not an ability. It's okay, you got to go block the edge. And if he's going to go in there and go be the complete receiver that I kind of thought I saw at LSU, it's just something that it's a mindset. He went to LSU. I would imagine their mindsets are going to be just fine doing that.
Yeah, I think he'll be all right. Hey, as an NFL fan, this news about the season officially expanding to 17 games is fantastic. Some of the matchups we will already see has me excited. And also only 3 preseason games now. Super Bowl moves to February 13th, most likely next season. It's not a secret that some players haven't loved this change. Let's listen to what Shaq Barrett, the Super Bowl champ, has to say about it.
I just love playing football. I want to try to get a record, try to get the record at my position. So another game that's only going to help me in pursuit of my trying to get a sack record. But I don't mind. As long as I'm healthy, as long as everybody's healthy, as long as like there's not too many more injuries. You know, people get hurt every game, every week. So it's just got to keep your body healthy, mentally ready, and ready to go. It's not a big thing to me at all. I love football. I love playing it. And it could be a game that we need to potentially make it into the playoffs if it was like a season like that. So I don't mind it.
Good attitude from Shaq Barrett, depending on how you look at it. Dan Graziano back with us. Dan, the reaction from players has definitely been mixed on this 17-game season. But there are some players that could actually cash in on the 17th game. Explain that to us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, look, if you did your contract prior to last March, prior to February 26th of 2020, and you haven't amended it in any significant way, you get an extra game check if you play that 17th game. Now, think about some of the guys on the high end of this. It's 1/17th of your base salary. Jimmy Garoppolo of the Niners has a $23.8 million salary this year. Plus, if he plays in that 17th game, he gets another $1.4 million. Look at these guys. Not that they need it, but this is going to be a serious benefit for a lot of these guys. I think part of it is the player pushback on the 17 games was, are we going to get paid more for playing more? And another part of it is to incentivize guys who might, especially on the high end, might have decided they didn't want to play that extra game.
Yeah, now that we're all convinced that the 49ers are taking a quarterback at that 3 spot, $1.4 million to be a backup quarterback for Jimmy Garoppolo. There you go. All right, another thing coming out of the owners' meetings is some of the new rules around – oh, I know, right? Yeah, it's wild for one game.
Right.
The new rules around the OTAs, Graz, what should teams expect after the info today?
So the memo that went out to teams today said reiterated that the OTAs will start April 19th for everyone, and the teams should expect for meetings to be held virtually at the beginning, although it also said they do not expect it to be a repeat of last year's offseason program. So they're negotiating that with the NFLPA, what the details will be, and we should know more in the next couple of weeks. There was also in that memo information about vaccines. They're not requiring vaccines, the NFL, for its players and staff, but they want to encourage people to get them. And so the memo talks about how vaccinated individuals might not be subject to the same kinds of restrictions in terms of testing, and teams that reach a certain threshold of vaccination, you might see restrictions eased on them in terms of, you know, use of locker rooms, dining rooms, weight rooms, etc.
Yeah, considering what these players, coaches had to go through last season and trying to keep safe and healthy, you might think that's a pretty enticing incentive.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Something for Russell Wilson to get excited about here. Adam Schefter reporting that the Seahawks are giving wide receiver Tyler Lockett a 4-year, $69.2 million contract extension with $37 million guaranteed. Wilson expressed dissatisfaction with the O-line specifically, but Lockett extension a positive. And look, Russ seemed happy on Twitter. He said, the homie, Tyler Lockett, let's go. You deserve it all. Love you, bro. All right, let's get to another veteran quarterback who seems at least a little frustrated with his organization, Aaron Rodgers. Remember when Rodgers called his future with Green Bay a beautiful mystery? Well, it seems like that's still the case. The Packers have opted not to restructure or extend Rodgers' contract so far, and team president Mark Murphy said this about why.
No, I can't really get into specific players. Yeah, we've been able to create room with others.
Don't you guys want to ensure, though, that he's your quarterback beyond just this season?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the specifics again. Good try, though, Rob.
Okay.
That's Rob Domofsky, by the way, our NFL Nation Packers reporter. The old good try,
good
Rob.
Good try, Rob.
I love it. We love Rob.
Shot, bub.
Shout out. Okay, Graz, these comments, or really lack thereof, is there something in this that's a big deal?
There is. And first of all, Mark Murphy can talk about specific players if he
right.
wants. There's nothing prohibiting that. But look, the fact that they restructured other deals and not this one allows them still, as was the case a year ago when they drafted Jordan Love, to move on from Aaron Rodgers after this year. Contractually, they're able to get out of the contract after this year if they wanted to trade him or release him, unlikely, obviously. They would be able to do so with a relatively minimal dead money hit. So they could have restructured and made it more difficult to do that, and that would have been a clear signal, as Domofsky was trying to indicate in his question, that they intend to keep Aaron Rodgers beyond this year. But they're not sending that signal. They drafted Jordan Love in the first round last year, and they will wait and see how Rodgers does this year and how Jordan Love does in terms of his development, and it may be that after this season they make the decision to move on.
Yeah, your actions are louder than your words. I got four kids. I tell them that all the time. We will know 30 days from today exactly what the Green Bay Packers' thoughts are when it comes to Aaron Rodgers long term. That's the first night of the draft, okay? Because what you've done recently when it comes to your draft picks does not tell me that you think Aaron Rodgers is going to be there long term. Does not tell me that you think Rodgers is going to be a part of our organization for more than 1 year. You know why? Not a single wide receiver. Okay? And we know last year you chose the future. So I'm going to know 30 days from today exactly what the Green Bay Packers front office views Aaron Rodgers' future in Green Bay. Because if they don't take a wide receiver, or if they don't move up and make a selection of an impactful front seven player, you're telling me everything I need to know. You could say it as much as you want. You're telling me, we're going to start building for the future, and this isn't our all-in year. Now, if you do that, if you go up and get a Rashad Bateman, or if you go up and get a impactful front seven guy, then I think a little bit differently when it comes to Rodgers.
Listen, people like Mark Murphy are the reasons that Destiny's Child, Say My Name, was the number one hit. Because Mark Murphy just refused to say it.
Don't sing anymore.
He refuses to say, guess what? I want Aaron Rodgers, the dude that was just the league MVP that has led us to back-to-back NFC championships. Yep. That's my guy. I want him here for years to come. And then what's even crazier is sometimes people just lie about it. They just lie about it. Because he is our quarterback today, they just say things like Jimmy Garoppolo is our quarterback, or that Jared Goff is still a Los Angeles Ram. They say these things, and maybe next week they're not. And it's okay, but Mark Murphy won't even do that. So that tells me is that Aaron Rodgers is not necessarily 100% a part of the plan going forward. What the drafting of Jordan Love says is Aaron Rodgers is not necessarily 100% a part of the plan going forward. And the Dans are correct. Your actions are louder than your words.
Dan.
And the other Dan is correct when he says Jordan Love's progression and Aaron Rodgers' play matters this year.
Yeah.
If we watch Jordan Love in practice and we see, you know what, he could be the guy. Aaron doesn't play at an MVP level. Maybe we make the change. I'll say this. One of my best friends was the DB coach in Green Bay when Aaron Rodgers was the scout team quarterback. And all he would ever talk about was how good Aaron Rodgers was, how great he could throw the ball. And because they saw that, they knew it was okay to let Brett Favre go. What Jordan Love does matters.
It's important to note because they didn't see a lot out of Jordan Love last year. Rough year, no offseason program, no preseason games in which he would have played if there had been some. And from what I was told from people in that building, Aaron Rodgers took literally every first team practice snap all year long. So that left Jordan Love splitting second and third team snaps with Tim Boyle, who was the backup quarterback. So this is an important year for Jordan Love to show more as he's elevated to that backup role. Ideally, for his sake, there are preseason games and he can show something in and they can have a little better read on him to help them make this decision, as they appear to want to go year to year at this point with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, Graz, point of clarification, you are not the other Dan. You are Dan Graziano. And also, this might put it over the edge, guys. Aaron Rodgers will be hosting Jeopardy for 2 weeks, starting Monday, April 5th, continuing through the week of Monday, April 12th. So maybe that's just what this front office needs to see to go ahead and get that extension done. Hey, for the 42nd straight year, the NFL Draft is on ESPN. It's also on the NFL Network. And the Game Day crew will be on ABC again this year, covering it from the college perspective. It all comes to you Thursday, April 29th through May 1st, with all 3 days on ESPN Deportes, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
New on NFL Live, this from our Patriots reporter Mike Reese. Robert Kraft on Patriots drafting, saying, "I don't feel we've done the greatest job the last few years. I hope and I believe I've seen a different approach this year." Notes that it takes 2 years or so to judge a draft. That's really interesting. Hey, don't miss our show tomorrow, by the way. Quarterbacks will be front and center as Todd McShay releases his latest mock draft. You wonder, could the Patriots take a quarterback based on what we just heard there? And what would McShay have to say about it? Todd joins us at 4 Eastern along with Mel Kiper. Of course, we'll have Dan Orlovsky. Lewis Riddick will be here to break it all down. NFL Live going to be electric tomorrow. All right, so Trevor Lawrence, sure to be the number one pick in Todd's mock tomorrow. But, Matt, how would you rank the other four quarterbacks that we keep talking about? Lay it out for us here.
Yeah, this is where it gets fun. We can just put Trevor Lawrence aside for a couple more weeks, then we'll talk about him on April 29th. I think after that, for me, it goes Justin Fields at number two, followed very closely by Zach Wilson, almost 2A and 2B. But I love Justin Fields. Like we've said earlier today, oh, he can't get through progressions? Watch this. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, and then watch me launch this 56 yards down the field. Woo! Again, Brent Venables, pretty good defensive coordinator for Clemson. So I absolutely love Justin Fields. Again, Zach Wilson right there, Trey Lance at four, and then Mac Jones following up the rear at number five.
Yeah, I like your five. I would say the only flip, I think Justin Fields and Zach Wilson, I would flip. Obviously, Trevor one. I got Zach at two just because I think that Zach does have some uncoachable traits in his game that I haven't seen Justin do in a game. Justin is significantly more athletic, and if he played at BYU, he would have hung 33 touchdowns on him this year as well. I think at four, I've got Mac Jones, and at five, I've got Trey Lance. I'm comfortable saying this. I think there's four great quarterbacks in this draft. I'm comfortable saying that Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, and Mac Jones have the chance, the traits, the skills to go be great players in the NFL. The one that I'm not sure on is Trey Lance, and it's because of this. I've seen those guys have to go be the guy in a game. Like, I've seen them go, okay, our team's got 40 hung on them on defense. We got to go score 41. Or our run game's terrible. I got to go throw it 50 times. I haven't seen that out of Trey Lance. And while I love the physical traits and the arm talent is awesome and he's a big physical athlete and he's super smart, I don't know if it's going to transfer over to the NFL because I've never seen it transfer into in a college game.
Yeah, no, I see that as well. I think when I look at Mac Jones, to me, though, he obviously has the least wow factor, right? And the reason I put him at five is because I feel like if we just want to plug a guy in and know that he'll run the offense the way it's supposed to be, he'll make the correct reads, he'll make the right throw, then we can play with Mac Jones. Sure. But that's not what we're looking for at the top of the draft. We're looking for the ceiling to be high. Who can take a team to the next level? Who can elevate if we need to? Now, if we watch Mac Jones throughout last year, no, you didn't necessarily have to see him go hang 48 because somebody hung 41 because they blew everybody out of the stadium. And Devontae Smith was wide butt naked open. And so when I look at Mac Jones, I think he still has a lot to prove. And you tell me what dude that's going to sit in the pocket and get beat on and get hit on that makes a lot of plays that's not named Tom Brady anymore. And the Zach Wilson, Justin Fields conversation is an interesting one because I watch Zach Wilson too. And he does some stuff and I'm like, holy cow, yeah. I've only seen two people do that and they're both
both surefire Hall of Famers. They're MVPs, and they have one Super Bowl, and their name are Aaron, and the other one's named Patrick, and they're absolutely electric, and Zach Wilson has that. And it's going to be hard to pass up on those things when we know what those other two dudes are. But I love Justin Fields, and if I'm Justin Fields, if I'm his mom, if I'm his dad, you know what I'm saying? Jets, please pick Zach Wilson number two, because yes. Number three is the sweet spot. The quarterback that excels the earliest in this league will be wearing red and gold, and their head coach will be named Kyle, and we are going to love them because they're going to ball.
No, I absolutely agree. I know you can't tell by looking. I didn't play in the NFL like my two guys here.
No, we can tell.
I actually grew up a Niners fan, RC, and so I'm with you. If they can get Justin Fields in there, I'm getting season tickets. I live in Missouri. I don't care. I'll buy season tickets. I'll be so excited about it. But you're right. Kyle Shanahan is the cheat code for whoever's drafted third overall in this class. He really is, because they also have George Kittle, Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Trent Williams at left tackle, and Kyle can scheme up 1,000 yards for the three of us at running back. It's that easy for him, right?
Yeah, maybe,
so they
maybe
are
me
just
too.
Getting a blessing, whoever's drafted.
Yeah, Ruddy would go get 1,500.
Yeah, I would.
I'd say the last two points I'd make on this is a big deal of how these guys go perform in the NFL depends on where they go, who's where with them, what talent are they surrounded with, and then what are they going to do off the field to go be great. But a big thing that everybody needs to remember with these guys is they're not finished products. We so often talk about these guys like they're here. That 3 or 4 years from now, they're going to be very different players, and that's up to the organization to take them there. And we've got to make sure that we keep that in the front of our mind. Like, Justin Fields, 4 years from now, is not going to be the same guy as he is now. Same with Trevor Lawrence, same with Zach Wilson. Like, who's got the chance to go be great with what's around them?
Well, and outside of Trevor Lawrence, not many of these guys had a whole lot of playing time, just as a product of their situations and then an unusual year last season.
Point.
So there's a lot there that I think matters as well. All right, time for one more thing before we go. Buccaneers coach Bruce Arians made good on his word. He said he would get a Super Bowl tattoo if they won the Super Bowl. Well, they did. He tweeted yesterday. He loves his new ink. He says, I got my ink. I love it. All right, so then Tom Brady was like, let me get in on this action.
Stop it.
Tom Brady apparently gets a tattoo of his own here. He tweets it out, and this tattoo seemingly is Bruce Arians, like, drinking on the boat, RC. No. I can't totally tell. What do you got on Brady's knee tat?
One, listen, here's what I got. I got the fact that Tom Brady did two things in this picture. He faked a tattoo, and he also made himself look like he was running fast. That's when you know you have a great social media team.
Who gets a tattoo on their knee? I might actually have to do it. It's like the side of his knee. We'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live.